Extra time.
Welcome back to the Extra Time podcast, everybody watching and listening from home. It's me, Joe Thomason, joined by the one, the only, Christopher Hamill today, and Henry... What a lineup this is, by the way. What a lineup this is. Absolutely buzzing to have a little bit of a three-way discussion about Everton Football Club today. But first and foremost, Christopher, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Just got over that cold that was bogging me down last week. I've took care of a few things around the house. I bought a new bin today. I've bought a new plug for the bath. So getting some very important life admin done. What about you?
Wow.
Mate, yeah, a plug for the bath is a tough one to find, especially a dimension that actually fits well.
Can you see it on camera? This one's broke. Yeah. I had to unplug the bath today using a butter knife.
Mate, do you want to know, I found the best tool for this on Amazon. If you haven't already bought a plug that fits, I've got a universal bath plug that is silicone and fits over any size. I'll send you the link if you haven't already bought you one.
Sensational. Great work from you.
Yeah, absolutely superb. It's only about $4.99 as well. Henry, how are you? Any bath plug issues?
I can't say my day has been nearly as exciting as Chris's, to the sounds of things. On a tricky weather day like this, to read about Everton's demise has only sort of brought my mood down even more, to be honest.
A bit of pathetic fallacy for you.
Yeah, I'd say so. Like, you know, it has been an interesting one. However, I just want to say thank you to everyone for the nice comments on Sunday Vibes. Everyone's been tuning into that, seen lots of positivity. Except, I've noticed, from a man called Vito Corleone, the godfather himself, who's... I can only assume it's because my name's Henry Hill and that's synonymous with Goodfellas, and he's clearly a Godfather fan, that he's decided that I'm not worth his time and day at all. But yeah, other than that, it's all been taken in good spirits, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, mate. I mean, I have to say, I watched the Sunday Vibes mention episode earlier with you, Jalab, and Chris, and I've really enjoyed it. I thought you did a very good job, mate. So if you people at home haven't seen Henry, Chris and Zach's Sunday Vibes talking about January signings, then make sure you go and watch that on the Football Daily YouTube channel right now. But today we're going to be talking about a team that are desperately in need of January signings. It is Everton Football Club, who are in the midst of an off-the-field crisis. Some might describe it as an on-the-field crisis as well, although they did get a result against Arsenal last night thanks to a Damari Gray stunner in the 92nd minute. So today we're going to be having a look at things off the field as well as on the field. We're going to be looking at Marcel Brands, we're going to be looking at Farhad Moshiri, as well as some potential signings they should be thinking about making over the upcoming windows. I think there's only really one place to start here, and it is with Marcel Brands, because in terms of bloodletting, Everton had to do it, and Marcel Brands has paid the price. Is it entirely his fault though, Chris?
There was very few candidates other than Moshiri axing himself who could take the fall for Everton's lack of performance in the last 3 or 4 years. So yeah, unfortunately for him, I think he was just sort of last man standing from that 2016 onwards sort of regime or sea change. I don't think he's probably done enough to be sacked, but I also would like to put forward the thesis that has he done enough to survive, to stick around? I'm not so sure. And we are going to go through some of his signings in a minute, because obviously he was sporting director, and ultimately his success or the job he did boils down to the impact the players that he made that he brought in. So we'll go through them in just a second, because I've not seen a lot of people do that actually. But yeah, of course, that's just brief synopsis of his time. I mean, he took over as sporting director of football, I think, in 2018, so they tweaked his role then. Yeah. He's worked with three permanent bosses and a caretaker in this time, Roberto Martinez, Koeman, Allardyce, so a very different profile of manager as well, which obviously highlights that he probably didn't have the input, the say that he would have liked when it came to identifying candidates and continuity candidates for the top job at Everton. I mean, I've heard that Moshiri was reviewing his position, you know, a year ago, but then decided when Carlo Ancelotti left that in order for the whole football department not to come unstuck, Marcel Brands had to stay. And that's a decision that he's flip-flop on in recent times. I've got to say, reading into it more so today, my overarching or my gut feeling is that Mashiri is as responsible for these sort of things, but I'm sure we'll get into that in just a second. What are some of the observations you boys made, or what are some of the initial feelings that you had about Marcel Brands exiting the club? Because when he arrived from PSV, he arrived with a big reputation and we were quite positive about it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, before you take it away, Henners, I think that he has been made a little bit of a scapegoat in this situation. I think Farhad Mashiri needs to take huge amounts of blame. And the situation almost, I don't want to bring it back to Man United because people say it always do, it does remind me a little bit of the Manchester United situation, where above the playing staff and above the managerial staff, there seems to be a bit of a mess in terms of delegation, who's appointing who. Obviously, Mashiri seems to have been in charge of the managerial appointments in recent years. We know Marcel Brands was against the signing of Carlo Ancelotti and against the signing of Rafa Benitez, but they still took place. And when you've got that sort of muddled thinking of the footballing director not necessarily wanting the manager, and then the recruitment not really aligning with the manager and the owner's vision, it is going to become a mess. And that's exactly what we've seen. We've also seen Marcel Brands, let's not forget, put onto the board in 2019. So quite how this decision's been made. Is it like Marcel Brands has been asked to leave the room for 10 minutes and then they've said, okay, we're going to sack Marcel Brands? I'm not too sure. I think from top to bottom, really, in terms of hierarchy and structure, Everton are just an absolute fiasco right now. So for me, it lies slightly more at the door of Farhad Mashiri, but Marcel Brands has paid the ultimate price, Henners.
Yeah, I'm a bit more sort of strongly on the Mashiri problem at his door situation. I think it's just, you know what, Simon Jordan on TalkSport, dare I say, actually did do a pretty good job of sort of venting, I think, the general frustrations. And the lack of direction at Everton is embarrassing, really. I mean, you mentioned Marcel Brands sort of coming from Alkmaar, AZ and PSV and doing well there. But these are two clubs that with restrictions, but also an identity, if that makes sense. You have to be a bit more smart. You have to be a bit clever and sort of where you're finding players, who you're bringing through the academy, etc. When you come to Everton, where it just seems to have an unlimited checkbook, where, oh, like you said, decisions aren't always being left in his hands. Just there's so many different moving parts going all the times. So it's so unclear how much money is available. Apparently, like Ben Godfrey, he'd been told to sort of restrict finances and find ways of cutting costs. And he said to Mashiri, "We can't really buy a defender." And then Mashiri just went ahead anyway and bought Ben Godfrey for something like 26 million. The Iwobi deal, I don't think Marcel Brands ever in a million years agreed to paying over £30 million for Iwobi, and the rest of the footballing community certainly agreed with that sentiment too. And it's just a lot of muddied thinking going on with Mashiri in charge. Also, you hear a lot about him in the press. In fairness, he is quite vocal, but normally the best owners are the ones that aren't heard too often, only really speak when they need to get involved. And when he's backing a manager 1 minute, then firing him the next, when he's sort of throwing his weight behind a sporting director like he did with Marcel Brands and then firing him just a few months later, it's not a good look. For Brands, it must have been an impossible situation to work in, having come from an area in Holland where he had a bit more creative control. So yeah, for me, Mashiri is the one that really needs to shoulder some of the blame. But also, I feel like someone like Bill Kenwright as well. You know, it's a really experienced head in the board that should know better than to watch the kind of situation spiral a little bit. But at the end of the day, Mashiri's bankrolling this new stadium, so I can see why they're all sort of walking on eggshells a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we'll come on to Mashiri in just a little bit. So I think we should probably dive into some of those Marcel Brands signings that Chris was talking about, because he has made a lot. There have been a lot of signings under his stewardship. Now, how many of these signings are actually Marcel Brands signings, and how many of them are board signings and Farhad Mashiri suggestions? We know he's got a lot of advisors around him and sometimes kind of circumnavigates what Marcel Brands wants, i.e. Alex Iwobi, in order to kind of justify his own agenda, remain to be seen. But I think we should run through some of these names, and I want you guys to kind of tell me if you think they've been a hit or a miss. You happy with that?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, let's start with Lucas Digne then. £18 million from Barcelona. Already problems under the Rafa Benitez sort of stewardship. Yeah. Kind of emerging last night, aren't there, with Lucas Digne being left out in the cold and Rafa very, very reluctant to talk about it in his post and pre-match pressers. Thoughts on Lucas Digne?
Yeah, I mean, Emil, that's definitely a hit, isn't it? Because for the last 18 months, most of Everton's good attacking play patterns, like progressiveness, has come down that left-hand side. And when he renegotiated his contract, he did so with, I think it was a Dutch stats provider, in the same manner that KDB did, to say, look how much value I'm bringing to the team. This needs to be reflected in my pay packet, which I, you know, totally respect. But yeah, it's weird what's happened with Luka Dinja, like how it's become personal so quickly. I don't know if he was a big defender of Marcel Brands and was unhappy with how things had unfolded behind the scenes, or if he just doesn't like Rafa's football. But I'll tell you one thing, Ben Godfrey is not a top level fullback, as much as I like him at centre back and as good a job as he did at right back last season. It comes at the detriment to the team pretty significantly when Digne is taken out. 18 mil, yeah, I think we can firmly qualify that as a hit. I think this is probably one of his headline acts when we look for positive signing. Although Tomlinson, I would say that like Henry just made a good point then, in the like he came from AZ Alkmaar, Marcel Brands. He came from PSV, where a lot of their work is judged on promoting youth players to the first team and then turning them for a big buck, right? And we've not seen that from Jared Branthwaite, Niels Nkunku, who's brought him from Marseille B. I think Branthwaite might be signing a new contract. He was brought in for £1 million from Carlisle. João Virginia was brought in from Arsenal's youth academy, I think.
Yeah.
And none of these have made an impression at first team level. And that's not, I don't want to use that as a stick to beat him with, but none are even like flirting with getting into the first team.
Yeah.
So in terms of turnover youth-wise, we can probably put a black mark against his name.
Everton don't have a youth policy. They haven't had it really for a long, long time. It's
rubbish.
Like,
But is that the fault? Are we putting that at the fault at the door of Marcel Brands, or is that also at the door of an extremely volatile managerial situation that's seen managers come through the door, i.e. Sam Allardyce and Carlo Ancelotti, who aren't going to pay an awful lot of heed towards the youth academy and have been bought in for immediate short-term success? I feel like to blame Marcel Brands for a lack of youth identity is potentially a little bit harsh, given that he had no say in the managerial selection.
But I suppose there is often opportunity in chaos, and maybe one of those young players might have seized that opportunity a little bit better. But no, it's not. The identity isn't his fault. Like, producing players for a manager or a way of playing, I totally get where you're coming from there. That has been a really hard task. But bringing exceptional youth to the club, or developing exceptional youth in regardless of what, you know, turmoil is going on in the first team, I think people were right to probably expect a little bit more of him.
I will say that he's implemented quite a few changes at the Everton Academy, apparently, which we in the next few years you might begin to start to see the fruit of that labour. So yeah, I think that is his legacy may kind of come back in a few years time. We might begin to see the fruits of that then. So yeah, but it is tricky, and it's also hard when they go and spend £120,000 a week on Bernard. Like, this is where like the muddy thinking kind of kicks in, because Bernard was a player who he'd been around a while. I think a lot of clubs had looked at him and said no. I think that's the only explanation I have in my mind for why he ended up at Everton. A lot of sides would have seen what he was doing at Shakhtar, because he was good. At one point, he's one of these guys like statistically everyone was very interested in, but he's been real poor. And to hand him a contract like that, it really distorts the way that the other players think about their time at the club and start pushing for higher wages is tricky.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a big miss. Yerry Mina, £27 million from Barcelona. That was a big dub for the Barca board, that. £27 million.
I think it's good.
Played less
he's
than
good.
Half the games. It's good, but it's a big fee for a player who's played less than half the games since joining. Like, his injury problems have been excessive, and he probably is the best centre-back at the club when he's fit, but he's not fit enough for £27 million when they're struggling financially.
Yeah, I mean, I really like him as a player. Even if he had some teething issues when he first came to the club, as a lot of ball-playing centre-halves do in the Premier League. But if they can get a decent sum for him and AC Milan maintain their interest, maybe they'll let him go to fund moves in other places. But we can move on to that when we come to the last part of this show, which is who we're signing for the here and now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just having a look at Yerry Mina's contract then, actually. Well, not being rude, but it does say here it expires on June the 30th, 2023 on Transfermarkt. So that is a problem that could well arise in the summer. Andre Gomez, 2 million loan fee, £22.5 million permanent fee, Henners.
I'd go just about a miss. I think he's a class player, but I don't think...
I'm lucky with the leg break as well.
Yeah, no, that obviously that is... devastating. You, I mean, things like that, you can't really blame brands or the player itself, but as a whole, it sounded good on paper, but I'm not sure it's the kind of player they need at the moment if Everton are to kind of rediscover that identity which they're talking about a lot. I'm not sure Andre Gomez is the man for that, so I don't hate this transfer, but I would probably say miss deep down.
Yeah, I quite like when... There's been a few times when Everton have been chasing games this season and Rafa Benitez has kind of switched it up to a 4-3-3 and brought Gomez on to exert a little bit more control. And we actually saw it against Arsenal last night. I thought he was superb in the 20 minutes that he was given. And, you know, nice and press-resistant, a little bit more composure in there than a lot of other players. So I like the option he gives them from the bench, but for, you know, £25 million, that's not really the signing he was supposed to be, right? So a fine squad player at the minute makes him a bit more versatile in midfield, but yeah, I can't see him being part of any long-term plans.
Yeah, I do think as well, these sort of signings, obviously Gomez, Mina, Digne from that Barcelona sort of failure squad, to be honest with you, smell more like Mashiri moves. Like an advisor has said to him, like, look, I've got a lot of Barcelona players that are about to come available. These are the sort of names that I can throw your way, rather than a lead recruitment scout like the guy they got that's just been moved up a role, I think. I can't remember his name. It escapes me. Coming to brands and saying, I've got this exciting young player that I've been scouting extensively. So I think, that really points to extremely muddled thinking behind the scenes as to who is in charge of what. Let's go to Kurt Zouma next then. £7 million loan fee. And I think this one has almost come back to bite them a little bit of that failure to get him on a permanent deal, because he does look a good player at West Ham. And I know he's torn his hamstring tendon, so he's going to be out for a while now. But I do think that is a bit of an L for them.
Yeah, experienced Premier League defender at this point. Pretty no-nonsense. I think for Chelsea to get £7 million out of him, get him back, and then send him on again is for a pretty decent fee to West Ham.
Unreal.
It's class. But yeah, this, I according to some of the research I did, missing out on Kurt Zouma is widely considered a big mistake at Everton. So I'd love to know more of the insides and outs of how they didn't manage to convert that over the line.
And that was something that I think was supposed to be Brands' mistake rather than Mashiri. I mean, a £7 million loan fee.
Yeah,
I just want to stress how ridiculous that is without having an obligation to buy or at least a first option on a player. Like, that might have been the case. I might just be mistaken or might be forgetting, but that is too much to pay not to land them at the end of a very promising season.
Let's move on to Fabian Delph, though. £8.5 million from Manchester City.
I mean,
I think this has been a miss. Yeah. Like, he's a fine player, isn't he? But it doesn't point towards a future planning and solid investment, does it? What the plan behind signing an aging Fabian Delph, who was being let go by Manchester City at the time, doesn't scream to me that a director of football is planning for the long-term health of the club. I don't know whether, again, this is a Mashiri signing or if this is a Brandt signing, but it doesn't make an awful lot of sense in the long term. And that's what Everton should have been planning for rather than immediate success. So I think Fabian Delph is a fine player, but overall his legacy will be a miss at Everton.
If you can't get a game when your like marquee defensive midfielder is injured, as a primarily a defensive midfielder, or at least a, you know, screening midfielder, come makeshift left wing back, then yeah, for £9 million, you've probably been a waste of money.
Yeah, to be fair to Everton, this is the kind of signing which I think David Moyes used to pull off very well during his time there, which is getting someone experienced out of one of the top clubs to maybe come in. I mean, I think personality wise, Fabian Delph is exactly the kind of player that Everton should be looking at. And, you know, he does deserve some respect.
Let's do Mbamin then. Let's do Mbamin. Because we're going to, if we go for at this speed of all these names, we're going to be here for an awful long time.
All right.
What's the thoughts on Mbamin at 22 and a half million from
complete
Mainz?
Miss.
Obviously, he's been injured, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, so complete miss. He can't kick a ball. He's a miss. In that case.
Yeah, he is a miss. And this Agreed. Does seem like a Marcel Brandt signing. From what I've read, this seems much more like a Marcel Brandt signing than a Mashiri signing. That fee is just...
There's whopping. No way Mashiri's going to Mainz to shop yeah. about, is there? Come on.
And it's the same with Moise Kean. Like, Moise Kean, £25 million. Just how bad is that move?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they got a sizable loan fee from Juve for him this season. Some in the region of £6 million. So we're talking Kurt Zouma money. But, Henry, you probably got a better idea of this than me, but I think there's an obligation to buy or an option to buy in there that will probably see Everton make most of their money back. So maybe they can sort of wash their hands of this deal with very, you know, little outlay net-wise. But yeah, just, I mean, in a season where they are missing Calvert-Lewin, sorely, desperately, there is such an absence of a good number nine at that club when he is not fit. Cenk Tosun absolutely pants.
Dog.
Like, yeah. Salomon Rondon, bless him, he's trying to do a job and it's just not of the level anymore. And, you know, Moise Kean had a decent season on loan at PSG last year, scoring in the Champions League, and they've decided that he's kind of still surplus the requirements. So just yeah, just absolutely shocking, man.
Yeah. Jibril Sidibe, 2.25 million pound loan fee from Monaco. Just another L there, another miss, isn't it? Alex Iwobi, £27.4 million. And this seems to be a real bone of contention signing between Brandt and Farhad Mashiri, from what I've read. This seems to have split them right down the middle, and that Brandt definitely didn't want him, and Mashiri was advised to sign him. So what do you boys make of that one?
I think this is a complete miss. Like I said kind of earlier, no one would have paid that money for Iwobi. I think on his day, he's a good player, but he's not consistent enough. I think it's interesting that Marcel Brand's given basically no money and having to be creative this summer has pulled sort of Damari Gray out, and he's turned out to be pretty effective, because that looks like sort of they maybe ran the numbers on him a bit more. He did all right at the start at Leverkusen, maybe realised that there was a decent player there. And it turned out to be quite a smart signing to an extent, kind of Andros Townsend too. Iwobi is just a classic, just throwing money at a solution, hoping that it pays off, going after a sort of a big side player. And yeah, for me, I feel bad sort of hitting on Iwobi because I don't think it's all his fault. But yeah, it hasn't really worked out. He doesn't have identity as exactly where he plays as a footballer. And I think it's always difficult with players like him.
Yeah, a rare Van Straten L on Alex Iwobi, by the way, because he was definitely behind that signing and gutted that he was leaving Arsenal. Jared Braithwaite, 990k from Carlisle, and Kunku, 250k from Marseille. Any shouts in here?
We spoke about
hits?
That at the top of the show. Like, I feel had a few of these transfers really made a significant impact, and of course that is asking for an awful lot. I must stress that. I think maybe people would have given him a little bit more like credit as a sporting director that was able to unearth these, you know, unpolished diamonds. But it didn't really happen. But Braithwaite, I've heard very good things about. And, you know, like I've said, they're offering him new contracts, so they must think something of him. I'm not sure what's happened to Nkunku, Henry, if you've got any idea that would be useful.
No, I think one of the other problems Brands has had is trying to sell some of these players. When he's asked to cut costs, he's been asked to try and go get premium for these players, and no one wants to buy them. So, I mean, it's
pretty damning. Like,
yeah, it's difficult. But yeah, I think, what's the next one? Alan? I think he's a good player, to be honest, but he only joined to be of Ancelotti, so I wonder what his thinking is now. So that's another one. Same with James Rodriguez, only joined to play under Ancelotti. Ancelotti, by the way, leaving them in the lurch this summer. I don't blame him, but that was pretty gut-wrenching for Everton. That basically confirmed everything. But yeah,
these two signings of Alan and James, are they Marcel Brand signings? Are they Ancelotti has gone to Mashiri and said, I want these players? Like,
for sure.
Who's
for
making
sure
the decisions here?
I read that against Wolves this season, they played a team from seven different managers. Players have been bought in under seven different managers, which is not good squad building. You know, starting with Seamus Coleman under David Moyes all the way through. Even there was an Allardyce with Cenk Tosun on the bench, that would have been eight.
And I really do sympathise with Brands. because if he's trying to build some sort of blueprint and Mashiri is just weighing in and signing whoever, whenever, then of course it's going to look bad on him, isn't it? But also, where are his like belters? Where are his biggest hits other than Luka Dinya, Yerry Mina, possibly? I quite like the signing of Alan, by the way. Like, if they didn't have Alan this season, there's literally not a midfielder at Everton that can... Abdoulaye Doucouré is next. I think we'll just skirt over James Rodriguez. Like, we know that was an Ancelotti signing. Like, he was very high on Brands' list, apparently, for a couple of years. And we've seen it.
I think we've seen some good stuff from him this season, right?
Yeah, completely
definitely
agree.
Man, I think he's been one of their best midfielders, if not best player so far this season, in the absence of Dominic Calvert-Lewin. And when he's out of the side, and he has been injured for a few weeks prior to the last couple of game weeks, then you've really seen a horrendous drop-off for Everton. So, yeah, I think that's a big hit. And I also think, I know Ben Godfrey's an overspend at £24 million, potentially, but I think in the long run he'll be seen as a hit. I actually think he's a really, really solid central defender, and if he actually gets game time there, will improve pretty rapidly in that role. So I do think there's been a few hits for Marcel Brands, like obviously Robin Olsen, that's an L, Joshua King, that's an L, and I also want to say I think Richarlison is probably just on the verge of a hit, a big overspend again, but if that was a Marcel Brands signing and it seems like he was chasing Richarlison for a while but didn't want to spend the money, I think you could say
but
that was
a
hit.
Even those ones you just mentioned, like, relatively unclear, because one of the articles Henry sent me, it was like, Mashiri was the one that didn't mind overpaying for Godfrey and Richarlison, which essentially landed them. It seemed like Brands had the most affection for Doucouré, which is another player that Van Strotten Woody didn't like.
We're just smashing on
that shot. About time.
We're getting him in Everton.
Theo Walcott as well. Big L, I'd say.
Yeah, but I don't think Theo Walcott, I think that predated Brands.
It was Allardyce, wasn't it?
That big Allardyce.
During his time.
Yeah, that was big Allardyce.
Okay, apart from like if Luka Dinya, you take him out, at the core, if we're being generous, he had a good start to the season. Obviously, just come back from injury recently. It is patchy.
Godfrey as well. I think of, let's say, these 20 plus signings we've just gone through, we can identify maybe maximum 5 hits. Like, the rest have generally been misses. And I think that does come back to a culmination of errors made at the boardroom level of understanding who's in charge of what. And that should lie at the feet of Farhad Mashiri, if he is the all-powerful owner that we are led to believe from the articles we've read and the sort of information that you hear from Everton fans, in that Farhad Mashiri has the final executive say on most of the decisions. And let's face it, he's been there as a majority shareholder since, what was it, 2016, 2017, something like that. And when he took charge of the majority shareholder stake, that Everton squad had some good names in it. It had some good players in it. It had a good spine running through the team. If you look back on that side, you know, they reached, I think, the League Cup final, and they reached the FA Cup final in the season he took over. Semi-final, not finals. And the spine of the team was John Stones, Idrissa Gueye, Ross Barkley and Romelu Lukaku. Like, the spine of the team was better then than it is now. So for me, Mashiri needs to be held massively accountable.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at their league finishes in the era of Mashiri. It's gone 7th, 8th, 8th, 12th, 10th. And then this year's looking low again. I mean, that's just... You can't even make it up how comical that is, that decline.
And the net...
For a club with that spend.
The net spend's been 215 mil as well. I know people talk a lot about the... about 500 mil, but they have sold some like big assets for big fees, haven't they?
But that's like Romelu Lukaku, who was bought in pre-Mashiri and sold during Mashiri.
Which, again, I mean, have they done well to flip those players for those like exorbitant fees, or have they actually just sold the jewel in the crown and not done an effective job at replacing them and just seen the squad quality deteriorate year on year? Probably the latter. It's interesting, Tomlinson, that you compared it to like a mini Manchester United scenario, because I did have a look at the board, and when looking at the board, and I do want to, again, stress that I didn't do extensive research on this, there isn't many like well-known football operators in there, in the same sense that like Manchester United have had to go out and you know, employ a couple ex-players, get Murto in, and obviously Ralph Rangnick's come in. Like, if you look at Denise Barrett Baxendale's history, I think that was in academics. Richard Kenyon was the marketing and communications consultant in Major League Soccer for like their various camps in the UK and US. I mean, it'll be interesting to see who they replace Marcel Brands with. And I know that, I mean, this probably means that Rafa Benitez is going to get more power because they're relying on his football IQ now, aren't they? Because they haven't got a director of football with a little black book that's got all these names and connections and whatever. All they've got now is a manager that kind of wants to be omnipotent. And I imagine there's no strong opposition to that because these people, I don't know, don't seem that well equipped to sort out the problems on the pitch, so to speak.
Yeah, 100%. And I also think some of Mashiri's problem has been communication. I really do. I think that the idea of texting Jim White post the Liverpool hammering at Goodison Park to say, look, Rafa Benitez has my full... That's comical. Mm. That is really, really awfully disrespectful to a fan group, I think, that just a week before had held banners up in the away end saying, we expect nothing but the best, sort of the club motto. I think to then say, okay, we're sticking by Rafa Benitez via text to Jim White rather than putting out an official statement on the club channels or anything like that is honestly comical. And now that they've effectively decided, Mashiri has decided anyway, that he's going to lay all of his eggs behind Rafa Benitez rather than a director of football like Marcel Brands. And fine, Marcel Brands had huge failings as well. But do we believe, to be honest with you, that Rafa Benitez is the long-term project option at Everton Football Club? This is a man who has a huge history with Liverpool, didn't have any credit in the bank when he initially arrived. And to be honest with you, I still don't think he has an awful lot of credit in the bank with Everton fans. Yes, they're angry, but they're mainly angry at the people higher up because this is a longer term issue. So if Benitez doesn't work in the next 6 weeks and things get even worse, I know that they beat Arsenal, but Arsenal are the kings of f***ing it against really mediocre to poor opposition, aren't they? I mean, in the last 2 weeks, they've lost to Manchester United and Everton, the two worst form teams in the league, haven't they? So I just think that the idea of putting his eggs behind Rafa Benitez as a long-term footballing option seems bizarre.
The job that Steve Walsh did before him was even worse. 110 million on Sigurdsson, Claesson, Tosin, Walcott, who Henry's already mentioned. And Brands, apparently, before he went, wanted Anguissa and Dumfries to come in this summer. So I do think he's probably left the club in a slightly better condition than where he found it. I suppose, given how much power he could actually exert. But yeah, so what were you about to say, Henry? Go on, mate. I'm a bit forlorn about this whole thing.
You see some owners get quite excited owning a football club, not quite understand. It's just a lot of foggy investment, etc. And to fire a manager now and go in another direction, I don't know, Joe, because I kind of back Rafa on this one. I don't know who you're expecting to bring in to steady the ship in the right direction here, because it'll be once again another set of influences going into that club.
I agree. I agree. It's a problem. But do you think Rafa Benitez is the guy to fix this mess?
I think if you look at how he operated under Mike Ashley and how the success that he did bring to Newcastle, which is a much worse side, I do think Rafa Benitez can command that kind of.
But the issue with there, Henners, is that Rafa Benitez was loved by Newcastle fans because he was doing miracles with absolutely nothing. At Everton, he's despised by Everton fans for having Liverpool
club links. I think despised is strong. I think they gave him quite a lot of bandwidth at the start of the season. Admittedly, it has worn a bit thin. But
okay, let's say despised is a bit strong. He's not liked, let's say, by Everton fans. I think that's fair to say, given that we're already, 14 games into the season and I've seen Benitez out banners and him being booed by Everton fans.
I don't know. I just don't think it's a sensible decision. I don't think there's any other managers out there. Like, who are they going to be satisfied with? Fonseca? Is he finally going to get this mystical job that he's chasing? But I really don't think there's another manager out there that could cope with the situation that we're seeing right now and at least Benitez is more of an experienced head in there who knows how to deal with some tricky customers. So I think for a season at least, until you get to the summer and you can really hit the reset button, until they figure out if they're going to be another director of football, for a season at least, I think Benitez should be just get left alone to sort of quietly get along with his job.
I think the numbers probably back up.
Well, he's going to keep him up, isn't he? They're not going to go down under Benitez.
I think the numbers probably back up what Henry's saying as well. Like, they're currently 8th for shots, 8th for shots conceded, expected points puts them at 11th. Like, and I know that these expected points is never overly clear, a great reflection of where your team is at. Sometimes it can feel a little bit arbitrary. But I think that's probably, he's performing as expected with the squad he's currently got. Like, they're around mid-table, they're a mid-table squad. Like, it's just selling the fans a brighter vision from here. Because he's not the most charismatic guy, is he? He's not the most, like, he's not a Jurgen Klopp. He's not someone that can rally the troops. Like, he's quite cold, quite calculated. And they've got a... Marcel Brands, I don't think he's given an interview to the English press since 2018. Like, whoever comes in next has got to be a lot more, I don't know, I want to say, like, bubbly a little bit, like, more personable.
Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that they should sack Rafa Benitez. I think Rafa Benitez is a fine option for them. I'm not by any means saying that he needs to go, but I'm just saying that the idea of backing Benitez is as the long-term fix for this problem seems like an incredibly muddled area of thinking, when I don't think he's a long-term manager, and I also don't think that the Everton fans will have the patience to stick by him long-term.
We have to remember, his family do live in Liverpool still. I know he wants to be there as much.
So how long do you think Benitez is going to be at Everton? Like, 3 or 4 years?
I
really
think 3 or 4 years. I mean, no manager's really at a club 3 or 4 years at the
anymore,
except for the very good ones. So I could see him there being there for 2 seasons. I think you'll be amazed once Calvert-Lewin comes back into that side, once they start winning a few games. It's obviously tricky. They've got some massive games coming up between now and January. I think they've got like some of the...
Well, they're not going to sack him now, mate. Not after
sacking. But I think once Calvert-Lewin comes in, and maybe if we just look at a few January additions, they maybe could make, under that sort of stringent budget, I think it's one of these clubs where the mood could turn quite quickly once things are going in their favour again. Because we saw at the start of the season, it wasn't all doom and gloom. It's just things have spiralled out of control a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's going to fit... Like, they're not going to go down under Benitez, that's for sure. Like, he's a good enough manager to keep them in the league. I just have question marks over whether he's the right man in the long term, to be honest with you. I think that every time there's a dip, Everton fans will go back to the point that he's a Liverpool man.
Until there's a really suitable manager out there who wants to be at Everton, I think that's hugely important. You have to remember that. Carlo Ancelotti did not really want to be there, given the opportunity to leave. If there's a suitable manager out there with the right credentials, I don't think someone like Frank Lampard is right for this kind of job at the moment.
So
once
do you not
that
think
is available...
If Potter would have taken... You don't think Potter would have taken this job in the summer at Everton as a jump up?
I don't think so, because I think he was in the process of building something at Brighton. I think he might do now after the Brighton fans stupidly booed him, but I think he at least has the support of Brighton. There's a bit more sense to their signings. Okay, they've had a few misses, but I think there's a bit more structure and sort of vision going on there. I think he would have taken one look at the situation and thought, I'm just not too sure, because like without treading over what stuff we've talked about, you never quite know what's coming next under Moshiri.
I think Moshiri is probably going to... He's running Everton at current like a club did in the early noughties, where one person, the manager, is omnipotent and just in charge of everything. And maybe it's just best that he does trust Rafa, because clearly he can't... He's not built a very good... administration. They're not governing Everton very well as like a team. They've not got specialists in each department. Maybe he is just better off for the time being giving the reins to Rafa, because he's shown that he's not that good an operator.
I mean, fair play. The boys are backing Benitez then, the omnipotent Benitez, to come good
come
at
on.
Everton. But there are areas of the pitch that need fixing in January and the next window as well, aren't there, to support this Rafa Benitez omnipotence. And I think we should start at right back, to be honest with you, where Seamus Coleman, who has played every minute of every game for 300 years, finally needs some support.
Yeah.
Any suggestions you guys have that Rafa Benitez might be watching this and thinking, I need a right back cover? Who could I bring in?
It's going to be difficult for them to sign anyone still. FFP Pia really breathing down Everton's necks. So I've had a look at maybe players whose contracts are expiring in 2022, kind of seen what the options are available. I think going back in for Ainsley Maitland-Niles isn't the worst suggestion. I think he clearly wanted to go in the summer. It's disappointing that didn't pull off. Even Callum Chambers, his contract expires in 2022. Okay, it's not going to set the world on light, that transfer, but it wouldn't cost them that much to bring him in early. And at least he's got Premier League experience. And you know what? He does have good moments for Arsenal when given the opportunity. He's definitely looking to move in that situation there. So those two from Arsenal. But then the other one I've gone for is Mazraoui from Ajax. He's 24 years old, so like a good age, 2.9 tackles and interceptions. He's already on like 4 goal involvements this season. Actually, I think it's 6 goal involvements this season. He plays a lot for Ajax. I think teams like Arsenal, City, Brighton, Leeds, they've all been looking at him because he's said he's going to leave this summer. So I think that could be the outside shout. If they can try and coax him to Goodison Park, that's the kind of sort of interesting progressive signing I'd like to see, and probably wouldn't break the bank either. But yeah, so you've got sort of the experience of Maitland-Niles and Callum Chambers, or maybe a bit more of a wild carded Nusair Mazraoui. So yeah, those are my 3 suggestions.
Christopher, any other suggestions?
When you put yourself in this position, that you really start to sympathise with Marcel Brands, because what does an Everton player look like at the moment? They've gone from James Rodriguez in one summer to Damari Gray and Andros Townsend the next summer.
I mean, I also went for Mazraoui. Henry, I assume we looked at the contract situations in a similar fashion and thought like he is the best of that bunch available. Max Aarons is one that I think could be good in the summer if they can dodge FFP, if they can stump up 20 mil. Like he offers a lot of similar qualities to Seamus Coleman. He's obviously not as savvy defensively, but like he's got that energy, that fitness, that drive, the certain qualities that they can also be found in him. I mean, he's valued at £20 million at the moment. He's certainly not going to play another season of Championship football at 21, going on 22. And now might be the time to buy someone like him, because Norwich are poor, aren't they? And his numbers aren't great. Yeah, and his value has probably gone down somewhat. So I think he's one to keep an eye on in the summer, but... But like trying to get Mazraoui on a pre-contract, I think is a great shout.
Yeah, I think Mazraoui is a really interesting shout as well. I was also thinking about potential loan moves here. And, you know, I think Liverpool have a couple of interesting options. I've just instantly slipped my mind. What's his name? The Welsh young right back. Nico Williams was who I was thinking. But it is very true, isn't it? Like, are they going to be able to get anyone out of Liverpool? Probably not. It would be a scum move, wouldn't it? So, yeah, let's stick with Mazraoui. Left back cover then, and potentially even a starting left back with this horrendous Digne situation, if indeed all is to be believed that he now wants to leave and that's massive fallouts behind the scenes. Left back situation. Any suggestions?
What are you thinking, Henry?
Go on. I'd more focus in on the centre mid situation. So if you have someone for left back, I'm sort of racking my brains. Have a think.
I mean, I have been I actually tweeted Celtic in the summer, insisting that they buy Ian Maatsen. Like, I think he's going to be a bit of a revelation. What he has been in the Championship this season for Coventry, he was great for Charlton in League One. I think he put up nearly 3,000 minutes, age 18, for Charlton last season. He's played 1,600 of a possible 1,900 for Coventry, who have been a bit of a surprise package in this season's Championship, although actually haven't observed them for the last 3 or 4 games, so that might have changed. 4 tackles and interceptions so far in the Championship. Like he's taken to that level of football like pretty seamlessly. He's maybe finding it a little bit harder to have to make an impression going forward. Like, I think he's only completing a dribble every other game. He's having a shot every game. But it's pretty impressive the way he's improved in such a short space of time. Still 19 years old. And that way you can still rotate in with Seamus Coleman moving forward. Because I know Seamus Coleman's 33, needs to be taken out the firing line at times. It is slowing up a little bit, but I think he's still got 18-month service left in him. And the alternative suggestion I had was Borna Barisic at Rangers, who annoyingly is a decent player. And it looks like Stephen Gerrard is going to move for him at some point. So maybe they can pip Aston Villa to the post. But if Gerrard does go in for him, I'm guessing he's going to get him.
I also think there's potentially a couple of options at clubs that are going to go down or I don't want to say going to go down, but are teetering on the edge. I think Dwight McNeil, I really think Dwight McNeil could be an interesting left back. I know that he's currently playing left mid for Burnley, but I think, especially as a wing back potentially in a three back system, I think Dwight McNeil would be a really interesting player. He puts up really good tackle and interception numbers. His delivery is excellent. So I don't know whether there's a sort of conversion to be made there, but if Burnley go down, Dwight McNeil, I think, is out of contract in 2023. There's serious value to be had in the market for a player like Dwight McNeil. There's a couple of players at Burnley, like Tarkowski should be a player that Everton are very, very interested in, who's out of contract in the summer, isn't going to sign a new deal, and is probably going to be looking for a signing on bonus to join a club. I think Everton's about his level if West Ham are also very, very interested
if
in
they
it.
Sell someone like Yerimina to AC Milan, and that could be, but let's run with it, and they make a decent bit of coin on him, then signing someone like Tarkowski as a replacement, who we know is available for between 10 and 12, I think Burnley have said, in January, if he was to go, feels like a solid move.
None of these players we've mentioned are going to replace Digne. Like, replacing Digne with Coventry's current left-back, who's on loan from Chelsea, is the same thing, isn't it? It's like, it's a huge step backwards for a player of Digne's quality. They're not going to be able to replace him with a player that's adequately of that level for under 5 million or however much their budget currently is, I don't think.
Sure.
So they are going to have to beg, borrow and steal, I think, at this stage. Central midfield then, Henners, defensive midfielder potentially.
Ooh, all right, I'm quite nervous about saying this. This is like a Rafa signing, and this guy's out of contract in the summer, and I think they could probably easily get him. That's Sean Longstaff. And I know a lot of people might like...
And we're talking about regressive signings here.
I think for like a, I think if their midfield already picks itself when everyone's fit. You know, I think Alan and Decore are in there, like you said, Andre Gomez. I'm talking about someone else who could go in there and at least offer something in there. And I think if you can get him on a free transfer or even just a nominal fee this January, Rafa got the best out of him. Don't forget there was a point where it looked like Manchester United were going to bid stupid money for him. So I mean there is a player somewhere in there, and I think maybe looking to bulk out. I mean, like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm talking myself out of this one.
I think that's even a step backwards on like the loan moves for the youngsters at like this clubs.
This is looking at like if they
Longstaff's
were
Longstaff's got like top of the championship written all over him,
mate. If they get Longstaff and he can like take Tom Davies's place as like English kid that was hyped up 2 or 3 years ago, like playing centre midfield that ultimately I don't think will live up to the billing.
There's a lot of articles suggesting that this move is probably going to happen. I've been reading a lot,
but that doesn't mean it's.
All right. I'm not going to poo-poo it completely, mate. I think it's okay. It's a bit uninspiring. Like it shores up their defense, like centre midfield options, doesn't it, from a defensive standpoint?
All right.
What about here's a name I'm going to throw at you, and I think this would be unbelievably punchy, and Henners is going to crack up. But I saw him linked with West Ham extremely heavily today, and that's Dennis Zakaria, who is obviously very highly rated, but he's out of contract in the summer, let's not forget, and has had significant injury problems. So some of the top elite level clubs might be thinking to themselves, do we want a player that's had this injury history?
I think the last thing Everton need is an injury-prone central midfielder. I really don't think that's there.
Okay.
But I also think there's enough big interest in him. He's going to go to someone sort of 4 out of 5 star club this summer. I think I think he's that level where Roma. I mean, we saw what Romano tweeting that even like Barca, AC Milan, all these sides are very interested in him at the moment. He's for those top sides who are looking to get quality signings without spending any money. I think Dennis Zakaria is about as good as it gets in that central defensive midfield role. So you think
players like him and maybe a Franck Kessier just beyond the bread.
I'd maybe look at like outside shout from PSG, maybe Herrera on loan if he's not getting all the minutes he wants with Garner Gaye.
He's playing quite a lot though recently, isn't he, under Poch, because he has to just find players that just do shifts in the absence of any work from the front three.
Yeah, I think that Dennis Zakaria feels like a player who's going to go to the continent, like Henry said, for a team that doesn't want to spend money transfer wise, but doesn't mind putting up pretty punchy wages. Who are in contract in 2022, like Remo Freuler, Boubacar Kamara from Marseille, Florian Grillitsch at Hoffenheim. These are all central midfielders that I would definitely explore before Harry Winks. And I think
I mean, they're all different, so I'm not offering any consistency there, but they would all add something to that midfielder for sure. Like Remo Freuler is great all round up. Boubacar Kamara has had a good season at Marseille. You might have to fill me in on Hoffenheim's how their season's panning out with Grealish. Transfermarkt's telling me he's got a cold at the moment, so.
I think they're fifth. They're Hoffenheim doing all right at the moment. Grealish is a good player. He's a really good player. So that is if they had half a brain, sort of the Everton scouting team, that is the kind of signing they should be at least considering. Mm.
So expect to see Harry Winks wearing the next
one. Can I just say, I'm going to say one more name I think they should go out for is Jesse Lingard. I think they should put all their eggs in trying to get him, because West Ham have obviously spent a lot of money on other players in the summer. If they can try and get Lingard over to Everton, I think that'd be perfect. It gives them the opportunity to play Richarlison at centre forwards more often. Even Lingard, we can see, can score goals as well. I'd love to see them go for Lingard. I don't think it's going to happen. But for me, that is the kind of signing, because we saw what he did when he went to West Ham last season. I think that's exactly the kind of signing they should go for. It's not going to happen, but that's my sort of.
They do need cover in those forward areas as well, because clearly they need another striker. And if that does allow Richarlison to play through the middle, then it would be great, because it's much harder to find a centre forward, I think, to sign than sort of one of those inside forwards in the mould of Jesse Lingard. And Jesse Lingard is going to be wanted in January. And Newcastle, obviously, I'm sure people have already read that report in the Times, who are going to make him, or willing to make him, the highest paid player in the club's history on about £150,000 a week, and pay, you know, £20-25 million for him in January. If that doesn't happen, then Everton have to move for him. I agree.
I think it'd be a great signing. And I didn't include it because it feels like he's nailed on for West Ham. But that's really interesting.
Yeah,
really interesting kind of little intervention there from Newcastle. I mean, and also, I suppose he Rafa Benitez plays a pacey counter-attacking system and expects his forward players to kind of cover a lot of ground, doesn't he? Jesse Lingard does fit the bill in that respect. I think that's good. I mean, it might be good for the thumbnail as well, Henry, so great suggestion.
Cheers.
Is there any other names then that we want to throw forward in this role? Like, I saw a couple of people saying that Everton should be going in for Divock Origi, but again, a bit like Nico Williams, I think that Liverpool tax is just like, it's just not going to happen, is it? Like, Liverpool aren't going to help him out, and I just don't think that Divock Origi, given that he is now a cult hero at Liverpool, is going to be willing to jeopardise his reputation.
No, you're right.
For that move, to be honest.
He'll never be held as high regard as he is currently by Liverpool fans. And I don't think he would jeopardise that. I think I'd be very ill-informed to do so. I mean,
tell you what, I've got one name. I've got one name. He's had a stinker at Lazio, but if they do need to get on loan a striker, I'd look at Vedat Muriqi, the guy that they brought in from Fenerbahce. He at least is that kind of big centre-half figure that could maybe provide an alternative to Rondon. Hasn't worked out for him in Italy, but sometimes these things do work out if he came to the UK. That's like someone who needs rescuing and someone who would definitely consider a loan move that and wouldn't cost them anything at all this January. And as a centre forward, I'd go for Marici. But I appreciate he hasn't scored loads.
I reckon there.
I'm just going to throw one more name at you. Potentially Eddie Nketiah. Now, I think Eddie Nketiah is a player that Everton could get hold of. Like, obviously, hasn't signed that new deal at Arsenal and is kind of put out. Well, he hasn't put out, but people in the know at Arsenal have claimed that he's not going to sign a new deal. He's going to leave. And he would probably be up for a move like Everton. I think there's not going to be an awful lot of clubs interested in him. I think a really nice move for a player like Nketiah would be Brentford. Like, I think him and Tony up front at Brentford is a really interesting proposition, but I just think that Everton feels like a more Nketiah destination.
I wonder about his willingness to go to Everton, because he's obviously leaving Arsenal because he wants minutes. That's the right thing to do. He needs minutes at this point in his career. And when Dominic Calvert-Lewin is there, like, Rafa Benitez likes a sole forward, doesn't he? Or he likes to play a kind of speedy winger come advanced forward midfielder off a bigger guy. I don't see him kind of usurping any of the personnel they've got now. So he might find himself in a similar scenario where he's on the bench. unless, of course, Dominic Calvert-Lewin does go to Arsenal in the summer, and they've been rumoured to be heavily interested, haven't they? Which would be a really, really fascinating move. I wonder what would happen with Aubameyang in that scenario. One forward I wanted to mention was Arthur Cabral, who's sort of doing the rounds a little bit on Twitter now, owing to his exploits in the Europa Conference League. He scored an absolute belter against some Albanian side. I actually, weirdly enough, I think I caught half of that game. But yeah, he's a player that's killing it for Bale now. 57 goals and assists in his last 62 games. It's only really come across my radar because West Ham reportedly made a £17 million bid for him. And I was thinking like Everton should start conducting themselves a little bit more like West Ham. So I put West Ham transfer rumours into Google, and Cabral sort of came up, and then that stoked my memory of his goal against FK Partizani. Also, I went on Who Scored, and I was looking at players that get off a lot of shots inside the box and that score a lot of goals from inside the box, like Dominic Calvert-Lewin does. Like, that is the profile of centre forward he is. And Cabral has scored 13 goals from inside the box this season.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, big tick in that scenario as well.
There is options, man. Like even in the sides that are going to go down, you look at the striking profiles of potentially Callum Wilson, who could be seen to drop. You look at the striking profiles of Chris Wood, who might potentially go down. He would fit a Benitez side quite well. Emmanuel Dennis looks shit hot so far at Watford, doesn't he?
And if Dennis would be great.
Were to go down, it could be an interesting shout for a club like Everton, who I don't think Emmanuel Dennis is going to move to a top like European elite side, but that sort of middling pushing for Europa League might be his level next, given from what we've seen in this sort of small sample size so far in the Premier League. His underlying numbers look great, so I think there are options even in the dropping sides, but I guess that kind of wraps it up, right? Unless anybody else has anything else they want to add on Everton.
Are we going to decide on the transfers? I mean, you need to go as director of football, Joseph. I don't know if you made that clear at the head of the show. I think we should go through maybe like three or four.
Yeah, let's pick one from each one then. Right back, the right back role then, I've forgotten who we initially discussed.
Mazraoui
was the name we've kind of picked there. In the left back role, I think the options were pretty to be honest with you, that we were trying to decide on. I'll select the Coventry lad that Christopher has put forward on loan from Chelsea. Hamster, what's his name again?
Ian Martson
at defensive midfield. And maybe not defensive midfield, but do we want to go with someone like Freuler?
Yeah, I think Freuler's actually a really good shout. I did consider that before my wonderful Longstaff suggestion.
Freuler in there, and then at centre forward,
I think Nketiah. I think I can see that happening. He's got lots of England under 21 friends at Everton. I think they'll all be in his ear, and I genuinely can see that move happening. As something that I think could pull off, if not Lingard, definitely Nketiah. I'd like to see that, because actually people forget he's like the under 21 top scorer. So he's got goals.
And we're also talking about all right, let's how go to fix him then. In January. There needs to be an element of realism here. So I actually agree. I think Barisic over Martson. I think I agree with Henry there. And then, you boys happy to go with Nketiah because...
Okay, so it's Mazraoui, Barisic, Freuler and Eddie Nketiah.
What a team.
Some fixes, some realistic fixes. Let's put that out there. What do you guys at home think about those fixes? And have you got any suggestions yourself? If you're watching on YouTube, you can put it in the comments right now. If you're listening on the podcast apps, then you can tweet it to me, Chris and Henry Hill. And we will probably, if not definitely, see your responses. Lads, anything you want to push to before we wrap up?
If you haven't already, go check out the EFD Explained on hooliganism in French football. It's been really well received. Really enjoyed it making that, and it is actually quite interesting. So go check that out.
That is one of the best videos you've made in a long time. Go on, Christopher.
Sam and Zacharias have relaunched Awkward FIFA, a show that debuted on Squad Goals way back when. So go and check that if you haven't already on Football Daily's main YouTube channel.
Yes, that's all the time we've got on today's podcast. If you're listening on a podcast app or on Spotify or whatever, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button. Thanks very much for watching, everybody. We'll see you later. Bye.